Hey, everybody. You are checking out the Revolution Radio Network on a Tuesday night, and at 8 p.m., that means it's time for the Idavox Report.
And good evening. Right. Hello, everyone. This is Daryl Lamont Jenkins from One People's Project, and we are here with Brian Powers and Christian Perez for another exciting and fun-filled episode of the legendary Idavox Report. And if it's not legendary yet, it will be. Just relax. I mean, that is, we are on course. So, how y'all doing tonight?
Doing great. How y'all
doing? Good, man. We survived CPAP.
Yeah, by not being there. I don't know how many people survived CPAP. Yeah. We'll find out in a couple of weeks. And for those who don't know, CPAC was in Orlando, Florida, as opposed to Washington, D.C. this year. And a good time was had by all. I mean, a lot of people who are politically minded were on Twitter going, what the fuck? All weekend long. Because of what they were seeing from CPAC. I don't care if you're talking about the Odinist room, the Nazi room, or that the stage was shaped as, or the golden calf that was shaped like Donald Trump, or Ted Cruz joking about Cancun, or what else do we have? What else tickled our fancy at CPAC?
The thing that blew up like on Twitter and everything was the golden idol of Trump, which right. was not only a golden idol replacing worship and sinning by committing idolatry, but also, as many people were pointing out, breaking the flag code by wearing the American flag as underwear. And why was he in his underwear? What was going on there?
Everybody makes Trump naked. Everybody always tries to do that. I don't know why.
It's weird. They want him to be a tough guy so bad. I got $5 that says Trump can't do 10 push-ups. But like I always joke with my students, have you seen like the Trump posters where he's like G.I. Joe with the machine gun, like Rambo?
I'm like, yeah, what universe is
that? Like, Donald Trump can't even stand up straight. Literally, cannot stand up straight. And you think that he's Rambo? I mean, but if you ask me, CPAC, the biggest joke was, you know, they call it America uncanceled, right? Not healthcare, not foreign intervention, the virus, economic failure, environmental degradation. Those aren't the biggest problems confronting America. The biggest problem confronting America, if you're a Republican, is cancel culture being held.
Exactly.
It's just out of touch.
I mean, basically, right wingers in this country have been in more or less survival mode. The only thing that they seem to care about in this day and age is just making sure that they exist. To be real, yeah. I mean, they don't like the fact that the demographics are shifting. They don't like the fact that people are coming up that they have been keeping down for generations, and that's why their conferences have been nothing but about that. And you know, I mean, my attitude is, when you look at both the Conservative Political Action Conference and that other conference that they had, the America First Conference, you're just looking at people basically admitting that they're getting their asses kicked by us. And I'll take that. I like that. I'm good.
They're going to start cheating again. They're going to start trying to rig elections again. They're going to come back with the voter suppression. They're not done. These people are never going to go away. It's like when I tell my students about South Africa, like there's this myth that apartheid ended and all the white supremacists just evaporated. No, they're still there. They're still politically involved and they're still spreading misinformation every day.
And they keep coming here to promote. I mean, that's one of the things, the reason why we keep bringing up the American Renaissance Conference, because they keep coming here to promote whatever civil war they want to have in Africa. This dude Simon Roche goes and speaks at the American Renaissance conferences from time to time. And my attitude about South Africa white supremacists is this: if you are a white supremacist, if you do not like black people, Africa is the wrong continent to be on.
Isn't that crazy shit, man? I mean, to hear white people in the southern, not even like near Europe, Africa, fucking the other side of the fucking earth, Africa. They somehow feel entitled to own it. Are you fucking serious? I South Africa. Trevor Noah, we were talking a little bit about the Daily Show before, and Trevor Noah talks about South Africa. He even talks about South African politics. He does a pretty funny impersonation of their prime minister. But I mean, he's you know, to hear him and his experiences in South Africa. He did an interview with a politician. I'm not going to name because I can't stand him. He's from New Jersey and he's a douchebag. But he did a great interview, and I'll say I watched it and I got a lot out of it. But he talked about, like, you know, what's still going on and what he went through growing up. It's akin to Frederick Douglass's book and akin to his story. You can hear the parallels, and there's a lot of chilling moments in what he says. And one of the chilling moments, South Africans studied our slave system to try to make theirs better. They tried to really come up with the best way to be racists and have these white supremacist policy. And one of the countries, just like Hitler studied, you know, good old USA. I mean, it's pretty fucking sad, really, but.
Hey, that's what you get when you have Cecil Rhodes running the whole damn continent 100-some-odd years old. I mean, So, and oh, by the way, speaking of white supremacists, the alternative conference, because CPAC didn't want to make it too obvious and kick the fuckers out, the America First Political Action Conference happened also in Orlando. And this was even weirder because you had Nick Fuentes leading the charge. You had Michelle Malkin there. You had John Miller. And my attitude about all of that is that there are, I mean, basically, if you heard Nick Fuentes' speech, he was basically saying he wanted to preserve, it's not America if you cannot maintain the white core of the foundation of America. And you're Hispanic, man. they want to preserve, they actually were basically telling you these Filipino, Black, and Hispanic characters, there was some in the crowd too, trying to tell you that they were there to preserve white supremacy. They were telling you that out loud. And I'm sitting there going, look, if you don't think that you are adequate enough to maintain this society, that's your problem. Get the hell out of the way of those that can. And if you don't like it the way we do, don't like the way it's being done, you can always leave. You see how it's done in other places around this world and see if they'll put up with your sellout BS. And really, that's all I have to say. And speaking of sellouts, I know this Mexican/Romanian dude named Paul Miller, goes by the name of Gypsy Crusader, that is about this kind of crap. You know, he's called for the death, called for Ilhan Omar to get killed, celebrated the Muslim killings in New Zealand. He's a boogaloo guy. I bring him up a lot on the show. He's a boogaloo guy from New Jersey. He was living in Florida as of sometime last fall. Not too far. And when he was living in Jersey, he didn't live too far from where I'm sitting right now, probably about a half mile from where I'm at right now. I mean, he's from my hometown, New Brunswick. Well, I've been watching him apparently, because he was always talking violence, always talking about trying to kick somebody's ass. And that was one of the reasons why I paid so much attention to him. He got snatched up today. At 6 a.m. At 6 a.m. this morning, the feds raided his house in Fort Lauderdale and busted him on charges of possessing firearms while being a convicted felon. Now, I don't know why he has a felony charge. We're trying to find that out now. I don't know where that came from. But if you're raiding a house at 6 in the morning, that's not the only reason why. That is so not the only reason why.
It could be as simple as somebody tipped it off. But that's I just, as you're saying this, I thought of a segment for you. Daryl Lamont Jenkins, I Told You So.
That would be the name of the show if I keep that. No.
Can we have a little? Just I told you so.
More like it's actually more like I saw it coming. He was telling us so. Everything he was doing was basically saying, "Come get me." So they said, "Okay." Really? I mean, the guy was sitting there talking about how he wants to be a martyr and all that shit. And I was just like, just sit back, relax. He'll be gone soon. So, but that's the kind of thing that we've been dealing with. And he started in all the, I first saw him repping Boogaloos like last year. The funny thing was, he was calling himself a reporter, and he was covering a reopen rally in Point Pleasant. Now, that day just happened to be the same day that George Floyd was killed. So, like, the next day, he went on that footing and tried to start encouraging his Boogaloo bums, his fellow Boogaloo bums, to stir up even more shit in Minneapolis, which is apparently what happened. And, you know, it's part of what made things in 2020 so damn volatile, should I say, problematic, crazy, a dumpster fire, if you will. And that leads us to what we are going to talk about today and who we are going to be talking to today. Now, there is a new movie coming out soon, courtesy of these folks. It's called 2020, The Dumpster Fire. And these are the producers, Rod Weber and Splendid. I'm getting ready to say Splendid Spoon. And I'm going to screw up again. This name is so crazy. But I don't know why. It's Pepiza. Yeah. No, Lauren Pepiza.
Right.
Pespiza.
Pass the pizza. Lauren Pespiza. And basically hi, Lauren.
Pespiza.
Lauren Pespiza. Lauren Pespiza. Yes, I got it.
There you go.
But anyway, the movie is about basically Rod and Lauren was going around the country over to, during the course of 2020. Rod and Lauren has produced several movies in the past. There's one about Vermin Supreme is already out, correct?
Yeah, the Vermin one came out on President's Day of this year. We'd actually, mm-hmm. I mean, as far as streaming and the mainstream availability, Vermin and I toured that around in 2018. And before that, I had my 2016 film, which was called Flowers for Peace. Each time around, I kind of pick a different shtick. That particular time around, I brought flowers to all the candidates as kind of my foot in the door. And I ended up getting on stage and doing the holding hand circle jerk with Jeb Bush about 24 times. He asked me to meet his mother and his brothers and all the craziest things you could imagine, including all these Aleister Crowley conspiracy theories that people were making about me and him, you know, to the point where John Kasich got jealous and he wants me to play guitar. Let's do Here Comes the Sun. So I turned into a song about global warming. Here comes the sun, global warming. And we got John McCain sucking me off. We got all these neocons, these neoliberals, everything under the sun singing my praises. I've got like this big ZZ Top beer with flowers in it. And for whatever reason, they're like, hey, let's have the acid casualty on stage. Meanwhile, I'm like, this is a character. That's what was going on in 2016, 2017. I released... The thing about Standing Rock, which obviously happened in 2016, but I can only handle one film per year. 2018 again was Vermin. 2019 was The Oppressed Majority, which was my Proud Boys documentary centering on the group here, which was known as Boston Free Speech. They put on that big rally after Charlottesville, and then they rebranded themselves as Resist Marxism, then Super Happy Fun America, and they put on the Straight Pride Parade, which I got arrested at, and about 36 others on that particular day for no particular reason. My case was the one that went up to the Supreme Judicial Court because I said, no, I'm not participating in this. If they have a First Amendment issue, I'm going to go in there with my hat on as freedom of religion. And then that Judge Sinnott, Richard Sinnott, who's actually a murderer. He actually murdered someone back in the 1960s, but he's a judge somehow. Then an internal investigation was started on him. Of course, 2020, The Dumpster Fire, it started off as another election film. But as we know, COVID happened. And so it does follow just, you know, kind of what was happening in 2020. You know, the first half was all shits and giggles and fun. And I'm out there trolling Joe Arpaio and
Pete Buttigieg
and Trump to the best that I can. Amy Klobuchar. I'm not a lib. You know, I'm certainly not a right winger. I'm definitely a lefty. And Daryl called me a libertarian last couple of shows back, and that pissed me the fuck off.
libertarian socialist.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk like a European version of libertarianism, you know, perhaps we can go there. I don't want to get
you're Nestemenko libertarian.
What?
You're an Nestemenko libertarian.
Yeah. Okay. You know, if you want, it's just, you know, today, like, you know, kind of, it gets weird. You know, like, you know, when you put that out there, especially because, you know, Vermin's trolling the libertarians and he's been doing that for a couple of years. And I, you know, hate to break it to you guys, but, you know, like, Vermin might not be the person you think he is. I happen to have known him much closer than the rest of you. He's here in Massachusetts, good friend of ours. But no, he's a real libertarian. Yeah, keep that up. Keep thinking.
Oh. And I want to say hello to Reverend Aaron. Yes, we got an article coming from him in the next couple of days or so. I'm looking forward to it. And y'all better look forward to it, considering what it's going to be talking about. So, I think we should go to the trailer.
Yeah.
I really like this trailer, and especially since I'm in it. if you can, by all means, let's introduce him. Like now.
It's 2020, The Dumpster Fire. As I said, a bunch of the comedy stuff, trolling, and then shit gets serious because George Floyd gets murdered, civil unrest breaks out, and then here it is, 2020, The Dumpster Fire.
All right. So
that's what we got.
I am queuing it up right now, and as I predicted, we are moving a little slow. It's loading. It's slow. It's okay. We got this. Here we go. Come on. YouTube.com.
This is
YouTube's fault. There we are.
Strap on your.
You guys can hear it, all right?
Yeah, we can hear it, but we can't see it.
It's coming up.
Is Mr. Weber being entertained, sir?
I'm a documentarian.
There's a lot of finance trolling for a cause throughout history.
It's like he's putting a strap on and owning Putin. Getting him.
I am, of course, the only candidate who will open the case about Epstein.
You're a corporate shell, Mike!
You wrote the Patriot Act, ushering in 1,000 years of George Orwell.
We're calling out the bullshit that is part of the system that we're living under.
Well, how can you protect our freedom when our kids are dying?
If there's a virus out there, you take it, you get it in, and you get rid of it.
You know, it's a fine line between a cop and a fucking criminal.
New York Times, where we endorse two people. We only get one vote.
Well, we have never had anything like this in American history.
This whole argument about the violent left falls apart when you stand in front of a Proud Boy, because they throw the first punch.
Antifa is not an organization. Antifa is an idea.
I think that is a great example of ethical trolling in its best.
Bravo. And yo, and I should point out that I was there for that one part everybody's looking at where he's on his knees screaming. It was a crescendo. Yes. And I'm gonna let y'all explain, by the way, what had happened, what that was all about, because a lot of people didn't understand what you were doing that day. This was a super happy, for those who don't know, this was back in October. The so-called Super Happy Fun America group, two members of which got busted in at the Capitol.
And more were there. They just haven't gotten in trouble yet.
And more were there. Yes, exactly. They had themselves a little rally, a very little rally, in Boston's Copley Square. And we decided to show up, and Rod and Lauren did some art Explain the art, why don't you?
Yeah, so I should say, you know, a little bit of the backstory. As I said, I do a lot of trolling of the candidates. And when the candidates kind of disappeared because of COVID, these Blue Lives Matter rallies and the Proud Boy rallies became surrogate Trump rallies, if you will. And so when we kind of got past the CHOP and the CHAZ and what was happening in Minneapolis, here back in Boston, Super Happy Fun America, we're still doing their thing. Now, they're a big Proud Boy affiliate. And our objective when we troll them is to draw all the media attention away from them, make them look as foolish as possible. And in this case, support a good cause. And the cause of the day was E. Jean Carroll. If you don't know, she's the one who accused Donald Trump of rape.
She was raped by Donald Trump in a dressing room. She's an advice columnist. She's been pursuing a lawsuit against him and has DNA evidence and has been like fighting the good fight about Trump being creepy. So, I played the part of E. Jean Carroll to the best of my ability. I wore a business sheath dress, you know, and, also it was a ritual to get Trump's filthy hands off of our country. So it was, you know.
So we cross this with Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, the logical thing to do, because we're a performance art troupe. And
we draw upon all sorts of inspiration.
So we took E. Jean Carroll, kind of in the role of Indiana Jones. In a sense, Indiana, and our friend Emery Galen plays Donald Trump, has the big wig, the orange face, and all of that stuff. And
fake heart.
Lauren comes out and does the, tears the heart out.
We have a 7-foot effigy.
So then we set a 7-foot effigy of Donald Trump on fire. And I'm going on trial for this. I'm being arraigned, actually. Thursday. This Thursday, this is happening. And that's one of the clips that we do have in there.
And this just dropped, too. This whole arraignment just dropped out of nowhere.
Like a month later, like one particular cop filed it for, like, he got offended or something. Yeah, there was a million cops there. You were there. They could have arrested him on the spot, but
yeah. So they made me go to a probable cause hearing, which I thought the entire thing was a joke. And they keep saying that I can't do these Zoom hearings, which is kind of weird to me. I feel as though that maybe they're going to extradite me for this warrant that I have in Florida for what I did to Jeffrey Epstein's mansion.
Whatever.
This is my paranoia. Okay. I don't know what it's going to be. But they're having me into the court and read off this stupid police report saying that they're using Homeland Security cameras.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, well, listen, guys, there was like 1,000 cops there. What if there was a problem? Why don't you just arrest me on the spot? Well, what it is, they had a cop who I think we couldn't get a warrant. You can go to a court, you can go to a judge magistrate for $10 and get a warrant. And I think they refused the warrant. And then after that, pushed forward on his own. You can see it's Robert Lundbaum versus Weber. And I'm like, is this a civil case? What the fuck is this thing? And so I've had a couple lawyers look at it, and I think that's what it is. It's a rogue cop. That's got a hard on for me and what we've been doing.
They all do, honey.
Can you sue them for wasting your time? Like for time lost?
If we could sue cops for wasting our time, we would be so rich right now.
I just won $15,000 from Manchester PD, along with $20,000 from Donald Trump. So I'm no stranger to doing shit like that. Robert Lombaum, I might be coming for you.
Yeah, wasting your time. Like if there were all these cops sitting around that could have done something, and then like this grump gets mad a month later and like, this is bullshit, man. Like I got a job to do. I'm trying to make movies over here.
I got reports of all the police scanners saying it was a controlled fire and it was nothing to worry about. Like it's.
And so this is if you want to show this so the audience can get context, but actually I think it was in the trailer that you don't have to show the other clip.
No, show the other clip. It's good.
Was that the clip that starts off with Alex Jones or?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the one. Okay. Hold on one second.
Alex Jones was hating on us. It was amazing.
So I got to ask you, when Alex Jones calls you evil, how big of like a badge of honor is that?
Oh, I have it as my my bio up on Facebook. Now.
I would tattoo that on my arm. This guy is evil.
I'm pretty sure he said we were Satanists who eat babies and hate America. Like, it's great.
That's all right.
This one right here, right?
Yep.
Yes.
And this is a shortened version, but it gives you the idea.
If you can't hear it, let me know when it starts playing.
Alex, sure.
Yeah, in the movie.
I already hate it, by the way, only because I'm seeing that fucking face right there.
Not just that face, that other idiot up in top right corner.
I don't know. Yeah. Give Leo Zagami a minute, too. This guy down so the bottom right.
I'm the Illuminati expert. The Democrat Party, they've long been in league with Satan. Now they're openly calling a Satanism.
This guy talks like Count Dracula. The Illuminati expert. He's the best.
Are we going to hear him in the clip when the internet cooperates with us?
Yeah, hopefully. Well, that's why I'm just trying to kill the dead air here. But, in the film, we give it a good... 5 minutes that it really deserves. I think the clip that I'm showing you, I kind of is a shortened version for Twitter.
I think I could probably, if there's an issue, let me see if I can pull it off.
Clearly there is. See, this is Alex Jones
scours the internet for the most punchable faces and he puts them on his show. It's
there we go. I got it now. We're good.
Ritual in Boston Street, bloody heart, symbolic of Trump.
Oops.
It was so well.
What? That's great. That was me being dumb.
Okay.
Here we go.
Ritual in Boston streets eat bloody heart, symbolic of Trump.
That Donald Trump has hurt, and this past burn. And fuck all these all right white nationalists that keep coming here.
Do you want to watch the rest of it?
No,
that's the trailer.
That's the trailer.
We already saw that.
The Alex Jones stuff, but that's in the movie. He really, you know, we were laughing our asses off watching his coverage of our little performance art like stunt.
We couldn't have asked for a better gift than for Alex Jones to come for us. It was beautiful.
Yeah,
truly.
And you know what? No one cared about what the Nazis had to say that day.
Oh, yep. You totally sucked all the air.
No one. You came back. You saw us there. You know, like you saw. You know, nobody paid attention. Like you know, to what anyone had to say at that rally.
That's why they left early.
I've never even heard of this.
And they never came to the orgy at Camden's house. I kept inviting them to the orgy at Camden's house, but Brandon was interested. Brandon came over and wanted to talk about the orgy.
So I should say we're not just for the hell of it. But John Camden is a card carrying neo-Nazi who's got a Wolf's Angels tattoo here. We're not just fucking shitting on people for no reason. We make a good point of following, say, NSC 131. You've got Chris Hood. And so as much as we're trolls here, we are principled trolls and we're ethical trolls and we're here to go after the alt-right. And it's not just for shits and giggles.
So this was very fun. But, you know, when they're all walking away, I love to do the, you know, orgy at Camden's house fit. And then Brandon Navon was very interested in that that day.
A good time.
One of the guys on that.
A good
I think he got consensually stringed. Yeah.
By silly string, the motherfucker. And the best part, so they always talk about this thing, mutual combat. And so I offered him the silly string, and it made it mutual combat. But obviously we're not punching each other. But it's just, oh, God, it was such a beautiful thing because the one that I handed to him was empty. But he consented to it.
And, you know, meanwhile, I think I heckled for a good hour that day about, like, you know, hey, y'all go in the orgy at Camden's house later? Brandon, I know you want to go. Come on, Samson. You know you're going to the orgy later. Like, I just do, I get in this zone where I just heckle and heckle and heckle and try to start, like, a dance off or something. And they actually get really, really scared of that. Like, more than
of course they would.
Giant penis signs or giant vagina signs, anything like, you know, like we're like basically clowns, right? Like in a certain way, but we know who they all are and we know what they do.
We're well-educated clowns though.
Yeah, but we know who you are. We know. Okay, come on, let's talk about your last issue where you just got fired for being a Nazi. But yeah, you know, and it's like, come on, I'm very concerned about your mental well-being, you know, like we just have all these little bits and they like run with their tail between their legs and it's really funny. Because, like, we don't even have to throw punches. We can just silly string.
Yeah. See, the reason why I went up there is because I never really had a good I hadn't been able to go up to check them out before. The Boston Nazis I have not been able to deal with the way I wanted to, because I've just been so busy with other things. Brian, they had several names before Super Happy Fun America. They Boston Free Speech.
Free Speech and Resist Marxism were the two big
Resist
ones.
Marxism.
There was
part of another group, I believe.
They settled on Super Happy Fun.
Yeah, they did. I mean, yeah.
But there are other, like, splinter groups.
When you want to be taken seriously.
So bad is that whenever you say fuck Super Happy Fun America, it tends to, if no one knows what you're talking about, some folks might be cool with that. Right. And I think that's what they were going for.
Yeah, the idea of a super happy fun America might be confusing.
It is,
but it's also such a stupid name for an organization.
You've explained it to me like six times, and I'm still fucking confused. So
you can't really go full. You can't really be too outright. Well, at a certain point, it was hard to be full outright Nazi in Boston.
Right.
And I think that Super Happy Fun America, when they were still kind of like feigning this whole free speech kind of thing, you know, let's do a straight pride parade because, you know, parades are fun.
And after the October 6th ride in Providence, which you were also at, Daryl, and that was a resist Marxism rally where Alan Swinney was there. Alan Swinney was there an hour before anyone else. He had his big a Flash Gordon helmet on, because, you know, he looks like that extra, the guy, the big burly guy with a beard and Flash Gordon.
Yeah, with the wings.
Confused with anti-Flash Gordon. but actually, it's perfectly paired in that universe, if you will. But they had you remember that big riot we were at, Daryl? In Providence. So after that, straight after that was the New York City 9. And the Proud Boys gave them a message straight up. And I know this from actually at that time, I was still working undercover feigning a friendship with Brandon Navam, who straight up told me.
He loves you.
In a fucking weird love-hate relationship. I don't know what to tell you. But he straight up told me that the Proud Boys told him to stand down and that they couldn't have any other rallies as Resist Marxism going forward. Now, it's important to note that Resist Marxism previously was based on Base Stickman's group, which was Say No to Marxism, which he had based out of the Berkeley protest going back to 2017. I was also out at those. And, you know, he got his name for, you know, hitting people with a stick. That's Base Stickman. He was a big part of it. Also, Joey Val, who's known with his swastika medallion. I believe he's a Puerto Rican ethnicity.
I know he's Hispanic.
Doing all that Heil Hitler stuff. But all these guys were a big part of it. Lots of neo-Nazis in their movement. And when the New York City 9 thing happened, it was too explosive. That was where Gavin McInnes had the thing at the Republican Club, and he pulled out the sword. And
Paul Miller was there. Paul Miller was part of that fight.
So the point being is that for whatever reason, they said you can't do this anymore. And that's why they decided to go with this ridiculous Super Happy name, I guess, because they thought it would be something different. Then, of course, they go and get Milo Yiannopoulos to be the headmaster of their parade, which is the most ridiculous and sad thing I can imagine for a gay man to do, being the grand marshal of a straight pride parade with a bunch of neo-Nazis. But okay. Yeah.
Real quick, those of us that don't know who Milo Yiannopoulos is, he's the guy who built his career trashing trans people and Muslims, saying that they were going to molest kids, and then came out and admitted that he had had an underage relationship with an older man, and then came out in favor of pedophilia. That's Milo Yiannopoulos to all our listeners out there who don't know it. And that's why you haven't heard him from in a couple of years, because the Republicans kicked him to the curb like trash.
Yeah, even he got canceled by Republicans.
Well, he got canceled because it later came out that he was more or less defending pedophilia.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much where folks
they don't
did
like
okay.
That.
No, yeah. They don't like that.
on either side of the aisle.
No. That it was over. But you know what really pissed everybody off prior to that was not so much Milo, but Bill Maher.
Him
and said, can you tell a segue's coming, Rod?
Mary Jane Letourneau is coming up. I can tell that's what's coming up.
No, not Mary Kay. I mean, yeah, because we could talk about how bad Bill Maher is, but I was more that's on the platforming part of this.
Oh, sure.
And you know where, and you know, when he platformed Bill, we platformed Milo and sitting there talking about how he's supporting freedom of speech and all this happy horse shit, trying to basically give him a chance to speak and all that. And my attitude the entire time was, why is it that he always supports the freedom of speech of dicks?
I forgot. Colin
Kaepernick has not been on his show.
And like, I can puke in my mouth a little more today.
Yeah. He's just a rich white asshole. Like,
well, he just had Megyn Kelly on, and I was watching the thing with Megyn Kelly, and her big thing was that, oh, they're having a trans education at her school in New York City, and that she had to have her kids taken out because of that, and Bill Maher is doing his, oh, my God, can you believe this? And so I hearken back to the Mary Kay Letourneau thing, and yep. Bill Maher is vociferously arguing for pedophilia, and Henry Rollins is there like, okay, yeah. No. So first it was Arianna Huffington, just like, Bill,
no, that wasn't,
you can't believe this is a good idea. And then Henry Rollins jumps in, and he's Bill Maher gets upset because he's like, Henry, wait, what? You're on her side? And Henry's like, yeah.
And it's funny too because that wasn't Arianna Huffington. I can't remember her name right now.
It was.
Kennedy
from MTV was on.
No. It was not Arianna Huffington.
Yeah, it was.
Because I'm going to tell you something. I know who that woman was. I can't remember her name right now. But that woman got in trouble because she had something where she defended rape. She's a conservative activist. She's a conservative activist. And it sucked that, a hardcore conservative activist. I mentioned her on Twitter because I mentioned the fact that she was the only one in that attack, the first one to even bring up the fact that it was rape, and Bill Maher pushed back on that.
There's got to be
more. I'll get her name in a second.
I'm guessing that there must be more than one episode of that then.
Bill Maher is like a misogynist in every episode, so.
Well, yeah, but and I think, and to be honest with you, I think something's coming his way. I really do think something's coming his way in regards to that.
Well, but it's also Cedric the Entertainer was on there because I remember him saying like,
right.
So he was like, oh no, to be fair, like he's 14 and you're 14, you just have a hard on when you don't want it. So because Bill Maher's like, well, how can you even be raped if you're a man? How can you be raped? And Cedric's like, you just have an erection all the time when you're 14. This lady just figured that she could sit on his lap, and that happened, and you know to much applause and laughter by his audience. But
And by the way, her name was Celeste Greig, G R E I G. She's like a conservative activist. About 8 years ago, she got in trouble for saying, and I quote, "The percentage of pregnancies due to rape is small because it's an act of violence because the body is traumatized." That was the one that actually called out Bill Maher first. Okay. She's a bad person. She is a bad person. But when you look at, and that's the thing about Bill Maher. Bill Maher likes to have bad people on his show to defend. I mean, even when he talked to Mike and Kelly.
From guy, who's that guy? He's got Jordan a few Peterson people on his show all the time.
Oh, Jordan Peterson.
Jordan Peterson. He's got a few people on there all the time, and I'm just like, why Breitbart again?
Oh, may he rest in peace, Breitbart. Rest in peace, Breitbart. He has had Breitbart on. But it goes to this whole thing about almost religiously. But I mean, I can appreciate you wanted to have a show where you can have both sides and have that conversation. But when you start sounding like those people, I'm going to feel a way. And we're not just talking about Jimmy Dore here. I mean, that's where I was going to. We're not just talking about Bill Maher. We're also talking about Jimmy Dore and the BS that he tried to pull. For those who don't know, Jimmy Dore is this, what did he say, a vlogger and all that.
He's a comedian.
Somewhat comedian.
He's a comedian.
Yeah. And he has this podcast where he brings people on and talk politics. And he decided a couple of weeks ago to bring somebody from the Blue Bums. And if you know anything, I keep bringing up Paul Miller. Paul Miller personifies what I see coming out of the Boogaloo movement. I've always said this is Paul Miller's direct quote. Well, not direct quote, paraphrasing here. But he has said that the Boogaloo movement is about the second civil war that will come about if, due to demographics shifting, the right does not feel it can win national elections anymore. Mm-hmm. So there will be a civil war if the right does not feel that they can win elections anymore. So, and we got a little taste of that on January 6th. So here comes Jimmy Dore platforming a Boogaloo bum, and everybody flipped out going, what the hell are you doing? So he's trying to do damage control. Rod suggests, if you really want to know what the hell's going on, why don't you get down to my Jenkins on? So he tries to get me on. Unfortunately, I couldn't do it that day. So he passed it off to, so he decided, okay, starts talking to Rod. And Rod's episode took a while to come on. you want to take this? Yeah. Let Rod explain why it took a while.
So, yeah, it took about 10 days to actually exactly 10 days to get him to air all that. And I should say I do not have the level of expertise that Daryl Lamont Jenkins does. Daryl has made this his life's work. And he is a true activist who should be held up and is the person who would have been the proper person to have the rebuttal to Jimmy Dore. That said, I'm a wise ass that makes movies with Vermin Supreme, does performance art stuff where we set effigies on fire. I'm an artist at heart. If it was up to me, I'd be, as Alex Jones likes to say, next they're going to be issuing Play-Doh and American flags to burn at, you know, every college in America. Yeah, I would love that. That's what I'm about. That's me, baby.
Finger paint in the basement.
So, kind of how I transitioned into filmmaking. And so I think that having me on the show was a pale second, to having Daryl on there. But, honestly, I was just in the DMs trying to correct his ass. And I'm like, no, you're wrong about this. You're wrong about that. You're wrong about this. You're wrong about that. And he's like, all right, well, then how about you come on? I'm like, all right, you know, sure. And so first thing out of my mouth, as he's, trying to be like, well, how the fuck am I going to reform myself? I say, well, you know, maybe you want to start talking shit about Tucker Carlson, who's one of his head producers there, by the way, working with what's his name from Traditionalist Workers Party, Matthew Heimbach. Who I did a mocking interview with. And so I made the point, like, listen, dude, like, I interviewed this dude. You can do interviews with Nazis, but every fucking word out of my mouth was with a condescending, just the, like, oh, so you're into Nazism. Like, well, tell me more about Commander George Lincoln Rockwell. You know, I was just like, I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, it was the tone of sarcasm coming out of my mouth. And so in the DMs, I'm trying to get across to Jimmy. I'm like, yeah, I know Boogaloo Boys. That's my documentary work. I talk to Proud Boys. I've talked to a whole slew of motherfuckers, but I do it privately. And if it does go out on YouTube, and if I do fucking interview them, there's some solid fucking pushback or some hardcore mockery. What you failed to do, Jimmy, is to fucking push back on Tucker Carlson. You failed to push back on fucking Tim Pool.
He didn't like
dick.
That.
You sucked that bitch's dick so fucking hard. It makes my fucking head explode. Tim Pool. He's like, oh, Rod, wait. What the fuck are you doing, Rod? What the fuck are you doing? And listen, I was playing softball because I'm like, listen, man, I'm trying to help you out. And like at that moment, I'm like, oh, listen, this shit isn't even gonna air. So I'm just trying to field his dumbass questions. But he already failed me in 2016. He had interviewed me back then and never aired it. It was an FBI. So the FBI raided us at the RNC. which, you know, it was an ugly thing or whatever. Jimmy just didn't air it. And so I was like, yeah, he's probably going to do it again. And so I just screen recorded it. And I guess the rest is history, because we saw as he's getting prepared, his producers are, I guess they just give him scripts, and he's talking about the ADL, and he's like, well, what is the ADL?
What?
And there's this dead silence, this dead silence among the producers. Like, what is that? What, you know what that is? You know what that is? And it's like, oh, holy. And so I just sat there silent. I'm like, what the fuck?
And he lives real quick. He can afford a house in LA from his dad's show.
Oh, like, yeah.
He lives off of being dumb.
Oh, yeah. And again, I'm a dummy. He says he's a pothead, jag-off comedian. Like, I'm an artist that does my best to follow what Daryl tweets. I read his articles, you know, other anti-fascist, you know, because I believe in the cause. I just try to keep up the speed. And I think as much as I'm spending most of my time doing paintings, and then sometimes I make a film, I'm just trying to keep up. I'm not a real researcher like Daryl. I'm not a real.
But you do know how to, you do know how to score hits, because I got to tell you, while Dor was trying to defend his platforming, he was also trying to avoid later on, like probably just maybe 2 days ago, he had a program where he got a little testy when Max Blumenthal, who was on the program at the time, brought up Alexander Reed Ross. Now, he redacted his name on the screen, but then Blumenthal said the name. For those who don't know, Alexander Reed Ross, as you could probably tell from whenever you watch, whenever you read Idavox, wrote the book Exposing the Fascist Creek. And Jimmy Dore did not like him mentioning Ross's name, because it was giving him attention. It was giving him publicity. And Rod came in with a pointing out, that's so you know how platforming works. And you chose also in that same moment to delete Ross's name, but keep the name of the Boogaloo bum that you had on the show. You're playing games with us, son. You're playing games with us.
I also have to comment. Yeah. Actually, Rod, when you were slapping around Jimmy, he comes out and he says, he goes, it's all
against the fascist creep, by the way. I'm sorry. I don't know who said that.
I can't believe I missed this one.
He goes into defense mode and he says, what, we're not supposed to talk to people? It's like, no, Jimmy, there's talking to people, which is what you do at a coffee shop. Then there's letting them on your show where you softball them questions. Like, it's the same type of, like, aloof, like, lack of accountability that you get from conservatives.
Yep.
I think Jimmy Dore is getting exposed.
You know how to use Google? Read a book.
Jimmy Dore.
He didn't even want to.
He's always exposing everybody. I like Jimmy Dore, too. He has his moments. You know what he is, though?
Yeah.
He's not politically sophisticated or educated. I think just found out that there was another Lennon that wasn't a member of the Beatles, and all of a sudden you think he's gonna lead this new revolutionary charge. Dude, you're a white dude with a YouTube channel. We've all got one. I hate to tell you this,
so like Lauren said, if we look back to like a month, 2 months ago when he was leading the charge for Medicare for All, I wouldn't say I love him. I'd say I made tweets like, if you like his opinion or not, he's right on this point. And so I love him for that. But I'd also make the caveat, he's a jag-off comedian. Just Medicare for All is a good thing. I think let's follow this and let's not shoot the messenger. But then once he brought on the Boogaloo, dude, it was like, what are you doing? You're killing me. You know? So it is what it is.
Yeah, and I, you know, it was like, I said, I think it was a couple of weeks of me saying, who's Jimmy Dore again? All this, like, all right, Rod, you're right on the internet. Now, let's go fight with Jimmy Dore. Okay, but I'm glad you did, but like.
He's not getting my $5 anymore.
Yeah, he's, hey, I mean, no, he, I don't think no, that no. anyone on the left that is seriously on the left takes him that seriously. And I don't know who his audience is.
I
think it might be Boogaloo.
His audience is the Tim Pool audience. It's the people.
Great.
It's a lot of the people who are swaying right, but don't want to admit that they're right. Who
they
like
haven't left their house in a while.
Right. It's a lot of people who are sympathized with the right and they think that they're centrist and they don't have the guts to admit that they're right wing. So they go on Tim Pool or whoever to think that they're smarter than everybody else. That's all it is. I mean, Tim Pool is quite possibly the stupidest person I've ever seen. And I actually had to lose a friend because he was a Tim Pool fan. And it was I look at his videos. They're stupid. Like you look at the titles of his videos and you can tell the guy's an idiot or he's a liar, but you know, sorry.
He used to try.
Yeah.
Like 10 years ago.
I think he's a liar.
And turns out maybe he's just been a liar the whole time. But yeah, no, I mean, I guess, okay, if Jimmy Dore's audience is the same audience as Tim Pool, now that explains everything.
It's becoming that, yeah. It's becoming that.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
White guys on the internet.
Getting closer.
Except you, you're okay.
Hey, before we're getting close to time, and I definitely want to talk, because I am still trying to understand the work that you're doing as well, Lauren, in regards to housing. In regards to the work that you've been doing in that regard. Can you explain to everybody, because this is a good chance, a good time to introduce everybody to that world as well, because that's important. I mean, especially it's been cold for the past couple of months, past couple of weeks. And it gets you to remember that there are some people out there that aren't as lucky as we are, and cannot fight as hard as we can. That's why we fight as hard for them. And you've been doing that out in Boston. And I need people to understand what it is you're doing. And you have a podcast where you talk a lot about this, too. So
I have not done an episode of that in a while due to COVID and the station shutting down. But I will be starting again because there's a lot of great people running in Boston right now who are fighting for rent control and affordable housing.
What's the show called?
Renters Radio. Renters Radio. So here's the thing. Boston has had a huge housing crisis for years. In fact, ever since rent control was banned in the entire state in the 90s, the housing prices have gone up and up and the rent has gone up and up. And basically everybody who could afford to live here before, even, you know, it's that urban renewal. It's that, you know, we're going to put in a bunch of Whole Foods coffee shops and luxury condos where your family used to live. So now the rent is pretty much astronomical. Even during COVID, we have had eviction after eviction. We had an eviction moratorium that expired in the fall. They have extended an eviction moratorium for public housing till the end of March, but they were running Zoom eviction hearings throughout the winter. So people have been getting evicted. There has been some pushback and fighting for that, which it's hard to do in person when the court is via Zoom, but there's been some blockades and some pushing back with the groups like City Life and Vita Urbana in order to keep people in their homes, which a lot of local representatives are working hard to do. But the issue is that we're still, you know, while all this is happening, every single vacant building or building that is sold is turned into a luxury condo like the Lanterra or the, you know, something that nobody can afford to live in. Meanwhile, nobody can afford to live anywhere where they used to live. So it's becoming a problem. Renters Radio covers all of that. We focus on mostly local elections. This year especially, we have a great... Marty Walsh has been appointed by Biden to the Labor Secretary. So we got him out of the way.
Marty Walsh, mayor of Boston, correct?
Yes. Marty. Bye-bye, Marty. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. So I've been very happy about that. I have endorsed Michelle Wu. We interviewed her this summer. She wants to abolish the Boston Planning Development Authority, the BPDA, in order to promote affordable housing. And she's running for mayor, and I will be helping her on that, probably be interviewing her again soon. And all of this stuff is extremely local to Boston, but it's extremely important to be, you know, an example to everybody else that, like, you know, we're supposed to be liberal. We're supposed to be lefty. We're supposed to be a city that isn't so damn racist, but we are. And so something that we cover on Renters Radio is a lot of this housing stuff, as well as a lot of local elections. We also cover a lot of the protests and everything. Yeah,
she can't help herself. I wanted to, you know, look up more of what was going on today, and she's trying to drag me out to help with the mutual aid stuff.
Oh, which, yeah. Which I'm all for. I'm like, wait a sec, the food pantry truck. They need people to help unload. Like, yeah,
we need to read up on this this FBI director, Christopher Wray, before we go and talk to Daryl. But you guys covered.
I'm
that,
like, no, know? I don't want them breaking their backs unloading that food pantry truck. So,
true.
Yeah, no. So all this mutual aid, all of this comes into it. I haven't done an episode in a while because the station was shut down due to COVID. We should hopefully people are getting enough vaccines now that we should be starting again soon. We'll be covering the mayoral races as well as a bunch of state rep races. And, you know, believe it or not, you know, you think Massachusetts is a blue Democratic city. But if you look at how our state house votes, it is neo-lib to the core. Yeah. They couldn't even ban tear gas in like the summer. Like they couldn't even, there's so much they couldn't even do. We still don't even have rent control and people are getting evicted and people are moving, are being forced out of their homes. It's awful.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the ones.
19 degrees below zero. I'm about 3 hours north of you. It was 19 degrees below zero today.
Which yeah, I should say.
I woke up to 2 degrees with 19 below with wind chill. And I'm about 3 hours north, but in parts of New England
so
today.
You're like in Alaska, Canada?
No. I'm near Farmington, inland, central Maine.
Okay. A couple months back, I was at some of the housing evictions.
Right. It happens in
New Hampshire. And man, it was heartbreaking because you know, they just, you know, got the state cops standing guard while guys in hazmat outfits are, you know, taking the razor blade, you know, to the tents and just, you know, cutting up you know, the last of these people's belongings, which then was counter protested by some lefties that we know, which then led to mass arrests and
them kneeling on somebody's neck.
Goddamn fucking horrifying that, you know, they, these are people that have nothing. And
this happens in Boston like every, I think about twice a month, mass and cast, you know, there's a homeless, you know, or people without housing encampments, homeless encampments, whatever you want to call it, over on Cass Boulevard and Mass Ave. And people live there because you know what? When you are living with nothing, you want to live in a community. And the cops just go sweep everything up, put tents in dumpsters constantly, take everyone's belongings, arrest who they can, like with, you know, oh, well, we're trying to protect the public. But like, no, you're not, because honestly,
you are the public.
Yeah, those are the public that, you know, need housing. And then, you know, every time they try to put people without housing in hotels, the rest of the town gets so mad they send death threats to the owners of hotels to stop them from putting up people during the COVID crisis. There's all kinds of crazy shit going on here.
Right. And I think the craziest shit with the Manchester encampments was that they had something like $1 million in COVID relief that was supposed to be towards the homeless community. And across from the encampment, there was actually an empty building, which they were trying to put folks in. And a bunch of local assholes came and I guess purchased it.
Purchased it just so that people without housing could not be placed there.
Right.
They purchased it to prevent homeless people from getting housing. That's how.
Have they done anything with the building at least?
Say what?
Did they do anything with the building at least?
No.
They just, you know what? And that's
the idea was a big fuck you. That's what the whole thing was.
And the thing is, if you get enough,
that's not the kind of fucking money I like.
This is what rich people wake up in the morning and think of to do.
It's COVID times.
We got a guy. Honestly, you could be describing New Jersey too. I mean, we got to go. We got a multimillionaire that wakes up in the morning and decides, I'm going to privatize water and I'm going to poison some people to do it. You know, and everybody's like, yeah, let's do that. Good idea. Like, our government's wrong.
No, it's true. Yeah. I mean,
it's awful. Hopefully changes are going to be made. You know, I've been very focused on getting this movie out. I think this will be out streaming in April.
Yes. I think there's we're not finalized on the date. We had actually been all right. So I'm not, without naming the distributors, we had some offers and then it was taking too much time. And so we decided to put it out ourselves. And as soon as I started making announcements that we're putting out ourselves, then people came back to us and said, no. You know, like, no, we want to be a part of this. And so I'll grant you, like, distributors have much bigger reach than we do. And this is not about monetary gain, but you have to allow them to monetize it in order for it to be seen by the biggest audience. And, you know, as much as we discussed, you know, some of the trolling of Super Happy Fun America and all this stuff, there is, like, honestly, this is, I feel like this is one of my best pieces of work.
This is
not because of the trolling that we did in the first 20 minutes of the film, but because of what happened after George Floyd and the protests there. I was on the scene when Minneapolis was burning down. Me and Nico from Unicorn Riot and one other guy, Rich, we were like the three guys who were seriously covering it. And it was the most horrifying fucking shit that I've ever seen in my life. I was at Standing Rock and I've seen people get fucking shot in the face with rubber bullets. I've seen fucking army men, you know, go after Native Americans and fucking smash their faces into the fucking ground.
You've been shot too.
I've been shot by rubber bullets. I was in a fucking drive-by shooting there. There were cops in white cargo vans going by and shooting flashbangs, like drive-by shootings at the people of Minneapolis when there was no one else around. There was not news cameras, no fucking nothing. But so me and Nico and this guy, Rich, we were out there covering it. And if for nothing else, like, this is why I want to get this shit out to the masses. And this is why... Yeah. Yep, I see. And Punks for Progress is saying Nico and Unicorn Riot rule, and they do fucking.
Yes, they
rule.
Do.
Yeah.
All those fucking guys. Dan Feet, here's a Boston guy from Unicorn Riot. He's fucking rules. Nico rules. Any of the guys, actually in Philly, the Philly
Chris.
Guys covering, you know, the homeless encampments there. So many fucking shout outs. In fact, the first fucking thing that I said to Jimmy Dore was check out the Unicorn Riot leak chat logs of fucking Discord for the Boogaloo bums. You know, so indeed. Unicorn Riot across the fucking board is fucking holding down this shit. And point being, so I waited a minute on these distributors and I believe they're going to be able to get it out to a bigger audience. And so as to when the exact date is, we're no longer 100% sure on that. We did sign contracts with theaters going forward, but we haven't put down that money yet. So I believe it's going to go with this bigger distribution, and hopefully that'll get it on, you know, Netflix, Redbox,
and And the bottom line is, you're right. This is something that people are going to have to watch. I mean, my documentary, Alt-Right Age of Rage, was supposed to be about Trump's first year. It went somewhere else right after Charlottesville.
Really
it went somewhere else. But 2020, the dumpster fire, that is pretty much showing us where, I mean, Alt-Right was how it started. 2020 yeah. dumpster fire is how it ended up.
Yeah.
And we're so still far. Going. We're still yep. going exactly so far.
And it's that's why I had on. To have you in it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I appreciate that, by the way. Appreciate that. But I really do appreciate even more so the fact that you did this movie in the first place. And that's why I want people to know about it and start learning to support it. And before we cut out, we gotta let people know where to find you. So I mean, we have your Twitter accounts on in the but we have people listening, so tell people what's up and how people can reach you.
So like I said before we started the show, I do have a Rod website, which is rodweber.com, and I rarely update that. I try to put my stuff out on Twitter now and also YouTube before YouTube kind of they shut down my channel, and now it doesn't get any views or whatever, so it's just my tag tweet. You can see the Twitter there at Rod Weber.
He's Rod Weber on everything. Stop lying.
I'm not lying.
If you look up Rod Weber on anything, literally anything, he's there. So whatever your preferred platform is.
Yeah. Okay, fair.
Rod Weber. All
right. And yeah, but not Rob. I saw actually
Rod.
You misspelled Rod. It, but I'm not.
R-O-D.
Yeah, I saw the ticker too.
Yeah, like Rod Stewart or Rod Serling from the Twilight Zone.
I say Rod, don't forget the D. But
and she's at Splendid Spoon. This is Lauren.
I'm at Splendid Spoon on everything. I'm Lauren Pespisa. Have fun trying to spell it. Renters Radio is on Facebook, Twitter. I think we got banned from Twitter for some reason. I gotta fix that. But we're on Facebook at Renters Radio Boston. We've been on hiatus because the station got shut down. We'll be starting up again soon. I don't promote myself that much. I just assume if you know me, you know me. Yeah. At Splendid Spoon everywhere.
But now we do. And I do weird paintings are on Instagram. Here's you know, Gaddafi as
oh yeah, we have a
Gaddafi.
Trump as Bin Laden.
Oh, we can't see the Donald Trump as Bin Laden. Oh, wait. Oh, no. Okay, I see it. I see it now. Yes. Donald Trump as Bin Laden. Oh,
Bali is Gaddafi. Gotta love it.
Yeah, we just listen, a lot of art.
Listen, I want to thank y'all for being on the show. Yeah. And this won't be the last time you're on the show. Yeah. And for those who haven't been watching Rob Weber's Twitter account, Twitter feed, check it out, because I pop up every now and again doing some ranting and raving about how you can be a part of the revolution if you so try. And if you want to go to my Twitter account, I'm breaking it down now. I'm at D. Lamont Jenkins. Also, Idavox is Idavox at OPP.com. Idavox at Idavox OPP. What we call it? What else is left there? Oh yeah, One People's Project is One People's Fraj on Twitter, and we're OnePeople'sProject.com, Idavox.com. Go to daysofunity.org. That's where the Anti-Fascist Unity Coalition is located. You can and we're doing a food drive this Saturday, a national food drive. If you want to be a part of it, by all means, let me know at DLJ at OnePeople'sProject.com. Now, and Brian, Christian, come on back. And if Rod, you want to talk about this, feel free. I mean, we gotta show some love. We gotta show some love to Bunny Whaler. For those who don't know, because it just came down probably about an hour ago. Bunny Whaler, the last surviving member of the Whalers, passed away today at the age of 73. Yep. He started that group. He started the group in the 1960s with Bob Marley and Peter Tosh, who are also no longer with us. He left the group in 74 to go solo. He's a three-time Grammy winner. He was given Jamaica's Order of Merit in 2017. And we don't know how he passed away, but he had been in the hospital since he had a stroke back in July. So we want to say rest in power to Bunny Whaler. Much love to him and his family. And listen, it's pretty much yes, we can reflect and mourn the fact that we had lost Bunny Whaler, but let's just celebrate the fact that we had him in the first place. And I'm glad he's back together with Bob and Peter, and hopefully they're making good music for us to listen to when we get up there. Does anybody want to say anything about him before we get out?
Oh, much love. No woman, no cry. I mean, goddamn. I mean, a motherfucking legend.
Buffalo Soldier. It's a lesson and a song. And I just did a bowl for them. I hope they're smoking up in heaven.
Christian, anything?
I don't know what songs he wrote specifically. So I'm a Bob Marley fan. I like Steer It Up or Forever Loving Ja, but I don't know which songs
he wrote. Oh, he did Steer It Up. I like Steer It Up.
So, hey, I mean, if he wrote any of the hits with Bob Marley, hey, rest in power, man. I mean, I like reggae. Hey, let's rock and roll.
All right, y'all. God bless everybody. I'm glad you're all here. Thanks again, Rod, Lauren, and thank y'all for being here. Everybody watching and listening. And we will be back next Tuesday at 8 Eastern Standard Time. And hopefully I will not be feeling lethargic. I'm actually a little lethargic right now because I'm still trying to deal with that radiation I got hit with earlier today.
Oh, wow. Oh yeah.
Do you
need somebody else to do the excited outro?
No. We got the out.
Joe.
No, we will be fine because I ain't going to be let's just get out of here. I'll see y'all later. No, it ain't going to be like that. Nah, baby. No, I am happy that you are all here. I am happy that you'll be here next week because I'm just assuming that you're going to be here next week. But let's get out of here. Take care, y'all. This was the Ida Fox. I'm Darryl Lamont Jenkins. That's Brian Powers, Christian Perez, Rob Weber, Lauren Papizia. And I still said that damn name wrong. Take care, y'all. Peace.